Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster of Spring 2020. It's a booklet filled with articles from preachers of the past on a common theme, and the theme this quarter is Redeem the Time. I think a timely theme. Redeeming the Time, all based on Ephesians 5:16. Today we return to Richard Baxter, in a message he entitles, Time Thieves to Avoid. Now, that title didn't make sense to me for the longest time. Let me read it again. Time Thieves to Avoid. Time being used as an adjective, thieves as a noun. There is such a thing as a time thief. That's something that steals your time from you. And he's saying there are certain time thieves that you should avoid. Richard Baxter, as you recall, lived from 1615 to 1619. Thief one. One of the greatest time-wasting sins is idleness or sloth. The slothful see their time pass away, their work undone, and can hear of the necessity of redeeming of it, and yet they have not hearts to stir. When they are convinced that duty must be done, they are still delaying and putting it off from day to day, saying still, I will do it tomorrow or hereafter. Tomorrow is still the sluggard's working day. Today is his idle day. He spendeth his time in fruitless wishes. He lieth in bed or sitteth idly and wisheth that his labors were laboring. Now, he feasteth his flesh and wisheth that this were fasting. He followeth his sports and pleasures and wishes, and that this were prayer and a mortified life. He lets his heart run after lust, pride, or covetousness, and wishes that this were heavenly-mindedness and laying up a treasure above. Thus, this soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, Proverbs 13:4. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor, Proverbs 21:25. Every little opposition or difficulty will put him by a duty. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing, Proverbs 24. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets, Proverbs 22:13. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth, Proverbs 26, verses 14 and 15. And at last his sloth depraves his reason and bribeth it to plead the cause of his negligence. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason, Proverbs 26:16. Time will slide on, duty will be undone, and your souls will be undone, if impious slothfulness be predominant. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain, Proverbs 15:19. You seem still to go through so many difficulties that you will never make a successful journey of it. Yea, when he is in duty, the slothful is still losing time. He prays as if he prayed not, and labors as if he labored not, as if the fruit of holiness passed away as hastily as worldly pleasures. He is as slow as a snail, and does so little work, and all is but next to sitting still and doing nothing. It is a sad thing that men should not only lose their time in sinful pleasures, but also lose it in reading, hearing, and praying, by doing all of it in a heartless drowsiness. Thus, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 18:9. If he begins in the spirit, and for a spurt seems to be in earnest, he flags, tires, and ends in the flesh. Galatians 3:3. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs 12:27. If he sees and confesses a vice he has and not a heart to rise against it, to resolutely resist it, and to use the means by which it must be overcome. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travails and travels, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Shake off then this unmanly sluggishness. Remember that you run for the immortal crown. Therefore see that you lose no time, and look not at the things that are behind. That is, do not cast an eye or lend an ear unto any person or thing that would call you back or stop you. Heaven is before you. Abhor a sluggish habit of mind. Go cheerfully about what you have to do, and do it diligently with your might, even about your lawful worldly business. It is a time-wasting sin to be slothful. If you are servants or laborers, you rob your masters and those that hire you, who hired you to work and not to be idle. Whatever you are, you rob God of your service and yourselves of your precious time and all that you might get therein. It is they that are lazy in their callings that can find no time for holy duties. Ply your business the rest of the day, and you may the better redeem some time for prayer and reading Scripture. Work hard on the weekdays, and you may the better spend the Lord's Day entirely for your souls. Sloth robs multitudes of a great part of their lives. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Proverbs 19:15. A careful, diligent person is still redeeming time while he does that which is good, and a slothful person is always losing it. That was thief number one. Thief number two, the second time waster, is excess of sleep. Necessity cures most of the poor of this, but many of the rich are guilty of it. If you ask me what is excess, I answer, all that is more than is needful to our health and business. So much as is necessary to these, I reprehend not. Therefore the infirm may take more than the healthful, and the old more than the young. Those that find that an hour's sleep more will not hinder them, but further them in their work, so that they shall do the more and not the less, as being unfit without it, may use it as a means to the after improvement of their time. But when sluggish persons spend hours in bed that neither their health nor labors need, merely out of a swinish love of sleep, yes, when they will have no work to do or a calling to employ them, except that which yields to their sleepy disease, and when they think they may sleep longer than is necessary because they are rich and can afford it and have no necessary business to call them up, these think they may consume their precious time and sin more and wrong their souls more because God has given them more than others. As if their servant should plead that he may sleep more than others because he has more wages than others. Oh, did these drowsy wretches know what work they must do for God, for their poor souls, and for those about them, it would quickly awake them and make them stir. Did they but know how earnestly they will shortly wish that they had all those hours to spend again, they would spend them better now than in drowsiness. Did they but know what a woeful account it will be when they must be answerable for all their time, to say, well, we spent so many hours every week or morning in excess of sleep, they would be roused from their sty and find some better use for their time, which will be sweeter in the review when time is ended and must be no more. Thief number three, the next time waster is inordinate adorning of the body. The poor may thank God that they are free also from the temptations to this, and can quickly dress and go about their business. But many ladies and gallants, that's men of fashion and pleasure, are so guilty of this vice that I wonder conscience is so patient with them. Oh, poor, neglected, undressed souls! Oh, filthy consciences, never cleansed from your pollutions by the Spirit or blood of Christ! Have you not better use for your precious hours than to be washing, pinning, dressing, curling, spotting, and powdering until 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, when honest laborers have done one half of their day's work? While you are in health, were not 6 o'clock in the morning a fitter hour for you to be dressed, that you might draw near to the most holy God in holy prayer? Read his word, set your souls and your families in order for the duties of the following day. I do not say that you may go no neater than poor laboring people, or that you may bestow no more time than they in dressing you. But I say that for your souls and in your callings, you are bound by God to be as diligent as they, and have no more time given you to lose than they. You should spend as little of it in neatifying yourself, that's making yourself neat and elegant, as you can, and be sensible that otherwise the loss is your own. That abundance of precious hours that your pride consumes will lie heavy one day upon your conscience. And then you shall confess, I say you shall confess, with aching hearts, that the duties you owe to God and man, and the care of your souls and of your families, should have been preferred before your appearing neat and spruce to men. If you have but a journey to go, you can rise earlier and be sooner dressed. But for the good of your souls and the redeeming of your precious time, you cannot. Oh, that God would but show you what greater work you have to do with those precious hours, and how it will cut your hearts to think of them at last. If you lay but hopelessly sick of a consumption, you would desire to be cured. It is like this proud disease. Bestow less of your time in adorning the flesh, which is hasting to the grave and rottenness. Can you not now see how time and life consume? When time is gone, conscience itself shall answer all and make you wish you had been wiser. You know not, ladies and gallants, how precious a thing time is. You little feel what a price yourselves will set upon it at the last. You little consider what you have to do with it. You see not how it hastes, and hear you how near you stand to vast eternity. You little know how despised time will look awakened conscience in the face, what it is to be found unready to die. I know you lay not to heart these things. If you did, you could not, I say you would not, could not so lightly cast away your time. If all were true that you say, that indeed your place and honor requires that your precious morning hours be thus spent, I profess to you, I would pity you more than a galley slave. Indeed, your excuses are frivolous and untrue, and they do but show that pride has prevailed to captivate your reason to its service. For we know lords and ladies as great as the rest of you, though alas too few, that can quickly be up and dressed and spend their early hours in prayer and adorning their souls, and can be content to come forth in a plain and incurious attire that is not elaborate. Thief number four, another time-wasting sin, is idle talk. What abundance of precious time doth this consume? Hearken to most men's discourse when they are sitting together, working together, traveling together, and you shall hear how little of it is any better than silence. And if not better, it is worse. So full are those persons of vanity who are empty, even to silence, of anything that is good, that they can find and feed a discourse of nothing for many hours and days together. They think there is such a fecundity and floridness of style as deserves acceptance, if not applause. I have marveled often at some wordy preachers with how little matter they can handsomely fill up an hour. But one would wonder more to hear people fill up not an hour, but a great part of their day and of their lives without any study at all, without any holy and substantial subject, with words that, if you should write them all down and peruse them, you would find that the sum and conclusion of them is nothing. How self-applaudingly and pleasingly they can extempore talk idly and of nothing a great part of their lives. I've heard many of them marvel at a poor, unlearned Christian that can pray extempore many hours together in very good order and well-composed words. But they are not more to be marveled at who can very handsomely talk of nothing 10 times as long, with greater abundance, without repetitions, and that extempore when they have not that variety of great commanding subjects to be the matter of their speech. I tell you, when time must be reviewed, the consumption of so much in idle talk will appear to have been no venial sin as empty, careless sinners. Now imagine, venial meaning lesser or lighter. It won't be as light as you think, he's saying, and when you are finally judged for too much words. Thief number 5. Another notorious time-wasting thief is needless, inordinate sports and games. They are commonly stigmatized by the offenders themselves with the infamous name of pastimes and masked with the deceitful title of recreations. Cards, dice, stage plays, dancings, revelings, and excesses in the most lawful sports, especially in hunting, hawking, bowling, etc. Whether all these are lawful or unlawful of themselves is not the present question, but I am sure that the precious hours that they take up might have been improved to the saving of many a thousand souls that by the loss of time are now undone and past recovery. Except malicious enemies of godliness, I scarcely know a more wretched sort of people on the earth, and more to be lamented than those fleshly persons who, through the love of sensual pleasure, do waste many hours day after day in plays, gaming, and voluptuous courses, meaning excessively sensual practices. Their miserable souls are dead in sin, enslaved to their fleshly lusts, unreconciled to God, and find no delight in Him or in His service, and cannot make a recreation of any heavenly work. How will it torment these unhappy souls to think how they played away those hours in which they might have been pleasing God, preventing misery, and laying up a treasure in heaven? And to think that they sold that precious time for a little fleshly sport in which they should have been working out their salvation and making their calling and election sure. Thief number 6. Another time-wasting thief is excess of worldly cares and business. These do not only pollute the soul with deep stains in a little time and then recede as some more disgraced sins, but they dwell upon the mind, they keep possession of it, and keep out good. They take up the greatest part of the lives of those that are guilty of them. The world is first in the morning in their thoughts, last at night, and almost all day. The world will not give them leave to entertain any sober, fixed thoughts of the world to come, nor to do the work that all works should give place to. The world devours almost all the time that God and their souls should have. It will not give them leave to pray, read, meditate, or discourse of holy things, even when they seem to be praying or hearing the word of God. The world is in their thoughts. As it says in Ezekiel, they come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. In most families, there is almost no talk or doings but for the world. These also will know that they had greater works for their precious time, which should have always had priority over the world. Thief number 7, another time waster, is vain, ungoverned, and sinful thoughts. When men are wearied with vain works, they continue unwearied in vain thoughts. When they lack company for vain discourse and games, they can waste the time in idle, lustful, ambitious, or covetous thoughts alone without any company. In the very night time, while they wake, and as they travel by the way, yes, while they seem to be serving God, they'll be wasting the time in useless thoughts. This devours a greater proportion of precious time than any of the former. When time must be reckoned for, what abundance will be found upon men's accounts as spent in idle, sinful thoughts? Oh, watch this thief, and remember, you may think that a vain thought is but a little sin, yet time is not a little or contemptible commodity. Thief number 8. Another dangerous, time-wasting sin is the reading of vain books, playbooks, romances, and fictionalized histories. Also, unprofitable studies that are undertaken for no reason but pride or the pleasing of a carnal and curious mind. I speak not here how pernicious this vice is by corrupting the imagination and affections, breeding a diseased appetite, putting you out of relish with necessary things. But think before you spend another hour in any such books whether you can comfortably give an account of it to God. How precious is time which you are wasting on such childish toys? You think the reading of such things is lawful? But is it lawful to lose your precious time? You say that your petty studies are desirable and laudable, but the neglect of far greater things is not laudable. I discourage no man from laboring to know all that God hath any way revealed to be known, but I say, as Seneca, we are ignorant of things necessary because we learn things superfluous and unnecessary. Art is long and life is short. He that hath not time for all should make sure of the greatest matters. If he be ignorant of anything, let it be of that which the love of God, our own and other men's salvation, and the public good do least require and can best spare. It is a pitiful thing to see a man waste his time in criticizing or in growing wise in the less necessary sciences and arts, while he's yet a slave of pride or worldliness, has an unrenewed soul, and has not learned the mysteries necessary to his own salvation. Yet these studies are laudable in their season. But the fanatic studies of those that would pry into unrevealed things and the lascivious employment of those that read love books, play books, and vain stories will one day appear to have been but an unwise expense of time. I think there are few of those that plead for it that would be found with such books in their hands at death, or will then find any pleasure in the remembrance of them. Thief number 9. The master thief that robs men of their time is an unsanctified, ungodly heart. This loses time, whatever men are doing, because they never truly intend the glory of God. Having not a right principle or a right goal, their whole course is hellwards. And whatever they do, they are not working out their salvation. However God may use the time and gifts of some of them as a mercy to others, they're still losing their time as to themselves. Therefore, a new and holy heart with a heavenly intention and design of life is the great thing necessary to all that will savingly redeem their time. That's from the Practical Works of the Reverend Richard Baxter, published in 1830, the works of a man who lived in the 1600s. Richard Baxter. Much to think about, right? I do not say that everything he mentioned is a waste of time, but the Holy Spirit must convict you, and you must first get that heart that he was talking about, and then you'll know which things are for you and which things are not. I think he gives a good list. Maybe not a perfect list, but a good list, a good starting list for some that have come to Christ and that want to glorify God in everything they do, especially in these awful days when suddenly time, much time, is given to so many people. Oh, don't waste it now. Don't waste it now. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again very soon. Bye-bye.